Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
All righty, rocking and rolling. Hour number two of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get to two games from over the weekend in college football. So you had Florida State taking care of business against Clemson, where they had to grind out the victory, come from behind. Once the game got into overtime, I felt good about Florida State, and they end up winning in overtime. But that was such a choke job by Clemson, and it serves Dabo Sweeney right with the way that he's talked about NIL, and also he's failed to embrace the transfer portal. And then in the night game, you did have Notre Dame going up against Ohio State, and that was a game where I thought Notre Dame was better, and I was very disappointed in Notre Dame, where going into halftime that they were trailing. They were trailing by three. It felt like they should be up in the game. And when you don't capitalize early, when you look like you're the better team, that's not where you lose the game, but that's where it can come back to bite you. Especially when it ended up being the differential of 3 points in that game. And when Ohio State gets the ball back, you know, with 90 seconds, a little under 90 seconds to go. You know, I got to give credit to Ohio State for getting the ball in the end zone. But, you know, Notre Dame drops what was an easy interception, and that should have been picked off. And then you get down to third and goal at the one, and they end up running the football there, and they get in the end zone. It's just one of those games where if you're a Notre Dame fan, and also if you're a Clemson fan, you walk out of the stadium, especially when you're both there at home, and you're just sick to your stomach. Because when I watched the Notre Dame-Ohio State game, Notre Dame looked better. And even though I thought heading into the game Notre Dame was the better team, doesn't always work out that way, but I don't feel like the better team won the game. And the same could be said when you look at Florida State-Clemson. Sure, going into the game, I thought Florida State was the better team, and Florida State should be undefeated, and they should go to the college football playoff this year. But watching that game, Clemson looked like they were the better team, and they were in control of the game. And at the end of the game, it's almost as if Dabo Sweeney had a button and he was just like, I don't want to win the game. Let me press it and let me do something stupid here. Like, well, what was that commercial, the Buffalo Wild Wings commercial, where you would extend the game so you could stay at Buffalo Wild Wings? It's almost that's what Dabo Sweeney was doing. Towards the end at regulation, you know, I don't get why he's calling a timeout when Florida State didn't know what they were doing. They looked like they were about to burn a timeout. And then I had no problem with them running the football with Will Shipley when you get the ball back, but you got to have two plays called there. And then they run out of time, and the game goes into overtime. Or you could have used that timeout, and maybe you changed something. So that was just bizarre. And then you get into overtime, and I know that Dabo Sweeney threw the quarterback under the bus. Oh, it's an option there. He has the option to pass. But third and one, run the damn ball. It's so simple, whether it's your quarterback or whether it's Will Shipley, you got to run the ball there. And instead, you know, they throw the pass and they don't get it. And then on fourth and one, it's incomplete. So I look back at both Clemson's performance against Florida State and Notre Dame's performance against Ohio State. It felt like both teams that won should not have won the game. And it's almost like you get into this conversation then, Hickey, who are you more disappointed in? Was it Clemson or was it Notre Dame? Because both of those teams, looking like the better team, just laid an egg in the final moments of regulation. I know for Clemson, it did carry on over into overtime.
Yeah, I mean, two good start programs lose, frankly. I mean, Notre Dame lost to stupidity. Clemson lost a little bit on their own with recruiting. I mean, it's a 29-yard field goal.
Clemson also lost because of stupidity, too.
Hit the field goal. But 29 yards, hit the field goal. We're not talking about this.
But you're not wrong. But how many times do we see college kickers mess things up and everyone says this is why you can't trust college kickers? Even when you allow the touchdown in overtime, third and one. I don't care if you give the quarterback an option. Run the damn ball. Like, you have that hat. Run the ball. Run the damn ball. Clemson needs to be wearing that hat. It was inconceivable to me after you get 9 yards. That's the other part. You got 9 yards with Shipley on the play prior. And then you throw the ball. And I know Dabo wanted to take no accountability for that after the game. Okay. But, and I know, right, you have an offense coordinator there making the play call. But how the coaching staff gives the kid, Cade Klubnik, who played a good game, the ability to throw on that play and even the option to throw on that play makes no sense to me.
And if you're Notre Dame, smart guy you, can you count to 11, please?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly,
oh,
that's embarrassing. That's absolutely embarrassing to not have not just one, two plays, two of the biggest plays of your season and two of the biggest plays of the game. You can't count to 10, or can't count to, 11.
Make you count
come
to 10.
Out of
that's
a timeout, and you give Ohio State what is an easy touchdown because their offensive line is not very good, and they made it tougher than it had to be, but it was a walk-in touchdown. We have three offensive linemen against two stand-up defenders. It was the easiest play call Ryan Day's life. It was the easiest touchdown Tripp Trainum's ever going to score, and that is flat-out embarrassing. Flat-out embarrassing.
And you look at Ryan Day, he outcoached Marcus Freeman in the game. And I don't want to really praise Ryan Day that much because Notre Dame looked like the better team. But in those games, even when they're so close, it's the little things that determine it. And Ryan Day had the proper players on the field. You look at Marcus Freeman, and I'm a big fan of Marcus Freeman. You can't have that happen once, let alone twice in the game. And I don't know about you. I'm watching the game on Saturday night. I did an audible on the food, by the way. I think you'll be impressed with me here. I didn't end up getting Italian food, Hickey. I said I was going to get Italian food for Notre Dame, Ohio State. You've been to Henley's before, right?
Yes, sir.
Wasn't that where your dad almost got into it, with Mraz the other week?
Right, local spot, right in Bayshore.
So Buddy and I that were watching the game, we went there for takeout. We got the bourbon wings, which are delicious. Bone-in, of course, with blue cheese. Tremendous blue cheese. And then we did the hot wings, too. And then we had cheesesteak quesadillas, which were phenomenal. Have you ever had the cheesesteak quesadillas there?
No, sir.
You need to. A1. Phenomenal. So it was a great meal. Watching the games, eating wings, stuff in my face. Got a little Rita's afterwards. Got the gelati where you get the ice and the custard, the vanilla custard, too. So I'm in a good, fat mood. Jolly, looking at that game, seeing like, oh, Notre Dame's going to win. I didn't want to see Ohio State win the football game. And then once Notre Dame blows it and Ohio State takes advantage, like no one watching that game live said, Notre Dame only has 10 players on the field, like defense. Like you just don't see that with the way that it's broadcasted on NBC. But then I think it was Emmanuel Acho who put the tweet out and he goes, you guys aren't going to believe it. That final play of the game, Notre Dame only had 10 players on the field. And I'm sitting there. May have had a few adult beverages. May have participated on the Mad Dog Russo plan. Or a cousin of the Mad Dog Russo plan. If you know what I'm talking about. And I'm looking at my phone. And I'm counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And I'm like, wow. They only did it. I go, okay. Zach, it's been a long day. Count it again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's inconceivable to me. You're at home. At home. And you can't get your players on the field? You're just not going to go to the level that people started to believe you were going to go if you simply can't get 10 players or 11 players on the field. And I hate to say that's what determined the game. Because you go back in the first half, Notre Dame should have had a touchdown. They didn't. They had some bad protection of the football. But you add that on top of it in the aftermath of the game where that gets revealed, And it's even more salt in the wound of the Notre Dame fan. Because once again, Clemson and Notre Dame both should have an extra win. They both should have got wins. And, you know, I want to see Florida State go to the playoff. I love what Mike Norvell has done. And I'm a believer in him. I picked him to win the ACC before the start of the year. And sometimes, hey, great teams find a way to win when they don't play their best. They've done that the last 2 weeks in a row. It's got to change because then you're playing with fire now. But if you are a Notre Dame fan, like if I asked the question, who's more sick to their stomach? Is it Notre Dame or Clemson? I actually think it's a Notre Dame fan because at their best, I do believe for this year, Notre Dame is a better football team than Clemson. Like, Clemson already had the week one loss to Duke. I know they could still, right, get to the ACC championship game, things like that. Now with two losses, you don't expect them to be there. But to be in that spot where you're Notre Dame, you're going up against Ohio State, a team that has had the respect of so many college football fans the last decade or so, and you were the better team, to keep on just tripping up over your own mistakes, that's just inexcusable. Like, Clemson, this is what Clemson is. Even when they play well, they're just not a great football team this year because other teams are moving at a certain pace and other teams are embracing NIL. They're embracing the transfer portal. And here you go, Dabo Sweeney is just like, nope, I'm going to just make fun of it. So that's the way that I would answer that question, Hickey. Notre Dame, Clemson, which fan base has the right to be more upset? I actually think it's the Notre Dame fan base compared to the Clemson fan base.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt, it's Notre Dame. They've been ragged on for years of not winning the big game. You have Ohio State coming to your house. Everyone's talking about how they can't get over the hump. And you outplayed Ohio State for 58 minutes and 30 seconds. Because that last minute and a half, Notre Dame had plenty of opportunities to win the game. They didn't. Dropped interception.
Even gotta before pick that ball really. Off.
Actually, I take that back. They outplayed Ohio State for 57 minutes. That last possession on offense was pathetic from Notre Dame in terms of they should have ran down the clock. They did not. They decided to run the ball, give Ohio State more time, save timeouts, which they needed on an intentional grounding call that would have, again, ran more time off the clock. And now instead of 7 seconds with a chance at the one-yard line for two plays, Ohio State would have had no seconds with a chance on the one-yard line to win the game. Notre Dame had multiple opportunities to win. Once you got the fourth down stop and Ryan Day did not trust his offensive line, deep in Notre Dame territory, he ran an end around because he knew he could not run the ball straight up the middle and get 1 yard because his offensive line's not very good in this game. Yeah. That was... should have been ball game right there. Even if you don't get enough first downs to run out the clock, you still at least drain all Ohio State's timeouts, drain the clock down as much as you can, catch an interception, put 11 guys on the field. There are, I mean, right there, 4 or 5 instances. If Notre Dame just did one thing different, they win a game in which, again, a lot of people for years have said they will not win.
And also, it was almost like the moment, even though they looked like the better team, the moment was too big for them early. Like, if you're Notre Dame, you got to say, bleep it. We got nothing to lose in this game. You got to be aggressive. And I, like, the rotation of the running backs, I know it's tough to kill them when you go for 176 yards. But in that first half, it felt like they barely used Audric Estime. And then later on in the game, I know he finishes with the most carries and the most rushing yards, 14 carries for 70 yards. But I was surprised how they went away from Estime early. And also, you have a new quarterback in Sam Hartman. Can you go be a little bit more aggressive with them? Like, Sam Hartman is a seasoned quarterback. He was at Wake Forest for a bunch of years. I was surprised that Notre Dame failed to be a tad more aggressive. And it was almost when, in early on in the game, when they were showing they were better, but they couldn't cap off the drives, they almost just panicked. And they didn't know how to respond to the adversity. And that's the frustrating part. Because Clemson, Florida State, Clemson just puked in the final minute of the game, and then they puked on that on third down of overtime. Like it was like 2 or 3 plays that they just vomited. But for Notre Dame, it was like all throughout the game, you were getting shown the path to victory. And anytime it looked like you were about to walk over the finish line and show that you were the better team, you just did things that quite frankly made no sense. And were really, it was infuriating and tough to watch.
And they gave away a game they should have won. Gave it away because Ohio State, again, did not look very impressive whatsoever. For all the struggles Notre Dame had through the first 3 quarters of that game, Ohio State had equally as bad struggles. Had it in your building, in your hand, that win, and gave it away.
What did you make of their the way that they used Estime in the game?
I mean, honestly, I had no problem with it, to be honest. They ran him late.
They
my
barely
biggest
ran
problem
in the first half,
is
though.
The last drive of the game run the ball more, especially in the fourth quarter. Their two best drives of the game in the fourth quarter, they ran the ball because they wore down Ohio State's front. That offensive line really started to get momentum going forward. Ride that out. Again, even if you don't ride it out in the sense that you get enough first downs to drain the clock and win the game, ride it out to where you are not even risking an incompletion and giving Ohio State any sort of life, and that's exactly what they did. So I have more issues running or not running the ball on second down and throwing a screen pass than I do really even in their play call in the first half.
And on that five-play drive that took up 2 minutes and 46 seconds before giving the ball back to Ohio State where they get the touchdown and win the game and only got you 16 yards, first and 10 at your own 11, Hartman completes a pass for 12 yards. Okay, first and 10 at the 23, you run for 11 with Estime. Then after that, you run with Hartman on first and 10. You pass with Hartman on second and 15 because you lost five on the Hartman run. Then on third and 15, you'll get 3 yards. And then on fourth and 12, you have the false start penalty, and then you end up punting on a fourth and 17 at your own 27. They just did things that were stupid with 2:28 left in the game. How you have the pass with Hartman, and then you run the ball with Estime, and then it's like after that, you run the ball. Like, if you're going to run the ball there, run the ball with Estime. Don't run the ball with Hartman. So, man, just frustrating. There's no other way about it. All right, we'll take a break. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll do some NFL and some college football next with Mike Pritchard.
Facts are facts. Like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
You did it. Along with millions of people who prioritized their health and got vaccinated against COVID-19 to help protect against severe illness and hospitalization too. Now let's keep it up.
Keep it up.
With this season's updated COVID-19 shot designed to help protect against recent variants. According to the CDC, you can get a COVID shot at the same visit as your flu shot if you're due for both. Ask your doctor or pharmacist to learn more and schedule on the CDC's vaccines.gov.
Keep it up.
Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All right, how we doing? It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio on this Tuesday. Let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in a former NFL wide receiver, is now the lead NFL analyst at VSiN, and also attended college at Colorado, and I'm sure he's a big fan of what Coach Prime is doing right now, and that is Mike Pritchard. Mike, appreciate the time. Good to see you. How are you?
I'm great, Zach. Great to be with you. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. I know it was a rough one for Colorado on Saturday, to say the least. Just when you were watching that game and the reaction afterwards, what really stood out to you from Colorado's performance up against Oregon?
I mean, the lead-in too, right? We got to televise the locker room of Oregon. That was fascinating. It's the prime effect. You know, we're looking at the overnights. We're looking at some of the ratings, and Colorado's on top. And I just talked to some officials at Colorado yesterday in terms of their social imprint, and certainly their viewership that they're enjoying right now. It's outstanding. It really is. But I think the reaction is to Deion Sanders. The reaction is to the celebrity of Deion Sanders. The reaction is to the attention that Deion Sanders is garnering for his student athletes. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Deion is trying to build a program, and they went up against a well-established program and a program in Oregon that has national championship aspirations. And certainly Deion's trying to build a foundation for CU. So I was not happy with the outcome. That's for sure. I thought the bus would move the ball a little bit and get into the end zone more than they did. And so it was disappointing that way. But all in all, you know, Oregon's a really, really good football team.
Well, it's funny to me, the wave of emotions. And I've always been someone that has said, I want to see Coach Prime get a big time job. I was saying he should have got the Auburn job last offseason. So he winds up at Colorado. People say, oh, if he wins 2-3 games this year after the team had one win from a year ago, he would be lucky. And he starts off the year 3-0, and then they finally look the way that most people thought they would look before the year, and now it's up. See, Coach Prime, he's no good. This is going to be disaster at Colorado. It's like when you're winning, all right, everyone's praising you. You lose one game, and now it's, all right, this is going to be a disaster, which that's the farthest thing from the truth.
Right. I mean, sometimes expectations get out of whack, right? And the start for Colorado has been phenomenal. Nobody could have predicted Coach Prime and his success, the 3-0 start. Shedeur Sanders playing into a spotlight into which, okay, he's being mentioned for the Heisman. But attrition takes over, right? Injuries happen, and then teams kind of figure you out later on in the year, and you get into a highly competitive Pac-12 situation. And then you truly find out what you have. You know, there's an element of surprise in college football and a non-conference in the beginning of the year. But once teams look at you on film and they kind of figure you out and certainly understand your tendencies, what else do you got? And so that's what we're about to find out with Coach Prime and his coaching staff and these players right now. What else do they have? Can they run the football? Can they protect the quarterback? Can they play defense and stop the run? I mean, we're about to find that out quick, fast, and in a hurry, which is exciting as well for Colorado football.
I think Oregon is a more well-rounded team compared to USC. We know Oregon could play defense. We've not really seen that going back to last year with the Trojans. So I think Colorado is going to be able to move the ball in this game. But what response do you think we'll see Colorado going up against the Trojans back in Boulder this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think Coach Prime will have them fired up. We didn't hear a lot from Colorado this week, right? We heard a lot going into TCU. We heard a lot going into Nebraska. We heard a lot and saw a lot going into CSU, but didn't hear a lot about going into Oregon. And you know, because they're all over YouTube and everybody knows, and that's been spectacular, the following that they've been able to create. So I'm wondering if we're going to start hearing a lot, or they're going to keep quiet and see what happens. But I think the spotlight has been shined on this football team and they embrace it. So they're more comfortable that way. I want to continue to see a lot from this team, and I think they'll respond. It's a tough place to play. There's phenomenal athletes. I think Shedeur will play better. It's his first taste of Pac-12 football. I mean, really, really big time competitive football where a team knows you, right? And or they're familiar with you. So we'll see if they can evolve. And I think Shedeur is good enough to evolve. And Sean Lewis, offense coordinator for Colorado, is good enough to evolve. And if they can do that and move the ball, then this can be a competitive matchup for sure.
When we go back to the Oregon pregame speech with Dan Lanning, I didn't have a problem with it. He's speaking to his team. The moment gets broadcasted, right? Those things are going to happen. But how did you kind of process it, Mike Pritchard?
Well, you know, Zach, I mean, I'm not mad at it. One of the things on our way to winning a national championship, we played Notre Dame twice back-to-back years. The first year, we were undefeated, and Salinesi had passed, our quarterback, and Lou Holtz, who was head coach of Notre Dame at the time, was caught on a mic saying that we're living a lie. Like, we're riding emotion more so than we're a good football team. Now, Notre Dame ended up beating us that year. That was my junior year. But the next year, when we faced Notre Dame, we remembered that. In fact, we played that recording, and everybody would remember that. So we kind of used that as motivation. We were able to win and beat Notre Dame that year for the national title. So I think what Lanning did was okay, but I also think Colorado is going to file that away. Because that's going to be ever living. That's going to live forever. And so I know it was the moment, and I know he was caught up in the moment, but just remember, come around next year or the year after that, well, who knows what the schedule is going to be like. Maybe Colorado uses that. Who knows? But it's out there forever. Maybe another team uses it, Zach. Who knows? But it was a bit arrogant, but also they backed it up. So you can't fault them for that.
Mike Pritchard here with us. Let's get to some NFL topics. I'll start you off with the team that you first played your career with, the Atlanta Falcons, coming off a loss, but they are 2-1. I think there's a lot of talent on this team, but we're all starting to wonder, can Desmond Ridder be good enough for this team to go make the playoffs this year and win a division that it's going to be up and down and bunch of waves you're going to have to ride with the four teams in the NFC South?
Right, right. And can Arthur Smith figure out the talent level, right? I mean, they got talent all over the field right now, and it doesn't seem like they are clicking all cylinders, right? And, you know, could it go on the quarterback? Could it go on Ridder? I mean, a lot of it could. I mean, you're hearing Heinicke stuff, and I don't know if that's the case or not, but the substance is there. I mean, Atlanta's got a great offensive line. I believe that's going to travel well. It's just, can they put it all together, and can it be consistent? They got a lot of young players, and that's what we see in the National Football League even today. When teams get upset or teams aren't playing well, it's because they're not consistent yet. So it's at the point of the season going into week four where you think the consistency will show up, and you really try to find out what type of team you have. And the same thing with Jacksonville, too. I mean, they're a very, very talented team, but can they put it together and can they be consistent? And the teams that are able to do that, you know, those are the teams that I look for from a betting standpoint, and certainly a team that looks to get hot in a rhythm and compete for the playoffs as well.
I know that there's so many things that change from week in and week out with the NFL, but and I talked to one Lions player after the game, and he's like, I was surprised that they barely ran the ball with Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. Right. For those two guys, I know they were down for most of the game, but it was within reach for a little bit. It was 13-3 for a while. For those guys to only get a combined 17 carries, it's like, okay, now you're playing away from your strengths, which are the two running backs on that offensive side of the ball.
Right, Zach. I mean, it's a great point, and that's the dilemma that Arthur Smith has as a play caller. You know, do I feature the run, which I know I can, and I'm used to. I mean, think about Tennessee Titans days. But then also got Pitts, who I don't believe he's 100% yet. Watching him play, and then I have London, and then you know I need to find out what my quarterback's capable of because I can't run my way to the playoffs. We have to be dynamic. We have to develop a passing game. And you know, that's in the back of the mind or certainly the thought process of a head coach. And you got to develop something in terms of a passing game. You can't just run the football back like we did, you know, way back in the day. And, okay, we're going to get to the playoffs that way. So I see the dilemma.
But in this division, you may be able to.
Like, you might be.
Any other division, yeah. Sure. This division, you only got to get to 8 or 9 wins, I think.
That's true. I mean, they went 7. They won 7, right? I mean, can they flip it and go 10-7 this year? Which I think they can. I think they can go from worst to first, which is easy to do when you win 7 games last year. But yeah, just figuring it out, kind of like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's starting to figure it out as well. They want to run the football. They want to be physical, but they also want to let Pickett throw the football down the yard because they got some really good talent players out there.
All right, last thing I'll bring up to you, Mike Pritchard, lead NFL analyst at VSiN, former NFL wide receiver with the Falcons, Broncos, Seahawks, played his college ball at Colorado. The Broncos are worse this year than they were last year, and I never thought I'd be saying that into a microphone, and I had no expectations for this Broncos team, but man, they've been brutal this year.
Zach, I used to cover the Broncos when I was in Denver for 104.3 The Fan, and at that time, certainly we thought they hit rock bottom, you know, firing coach after coach. And we thought they finally hit rock bottom years ago, but they keep finding a way. You know, it's the opposite of breaking through the ceiling.
Create new ways to lose.
Right. They keep crashing through floors. And it's like, okay, when are they going to hit bottom? And I don't know if 70 points means that you hit rock bottom. We'll see. But that team quit. That team, they feel like they're a bunch of losers. And that's sad to say. I mean, Russell's playing better, but yet the team around him and the team that they have right now, they have zero confidence. And again, that's embarrassing.
And they don't have a lot of talent on offense. And going into the year, we talked about how great that secondary should be. This defense, Mike, has been atrocious.
Yeah. You know what, Zach? I mean, they spend a lot of money in free agency, though, on that offense. I mean, you think about McGlinchey, you think about some of the other players they acquired through free agency. And I think the Broncos actually felt like they drafted well defensively and let some pretty good players go too. But yet, no, the fabric is just not there. They got a new ownership group, which will hopefully help. I mean, the messages, strong messages from the top, they mm-hmm. transcend. You know, Pat Bowlen, when he was there for so many years, he had more playoff appearances than losing seasons, right? I mean, that guy was phenomenal because the message was so strong from the top. And that's why the Broncos were so successful. But the Broncos clearly lost their way. I don't know how they find it, especially without confidence.
But do you have any confidence in this coach? I know Sean Payton won a Super Bowl, right? He's looking like he was well on his way to the Hall of Fame. But he ran his mouth this offseason, bringing up Nathaniel Hackett, taking shots. And to be this bad, you know, a lot of heat's going to be directed his way, even only three games in.
Yeah, Zach, the analyst, Sean Payton, forgot the fact that he had that analyst hat still on. He should have had his coach's hat on and not say those kind of things, because as a coach, you know you have a lot of work to do. You have to turn over that roster. You have to earn credibility with that roster, and he hasn't done that. And he was popping off at the mouth, like you said, but he was doing that as an analyst, because for a whole year he was an analyst. And, you know, we tend to kind of get trapped that way sometimes. Not me, because I'm not a coach. I don't have to worry about that. But he has to back it up, and certainly he has to earn credibility right now before the Broncos have any level of success.
Would you want to remove the analyst hat and maybe join Coach Prime on his staff somewhere? That's been the big topic of conversation anytime you get a former player on that has Colorado ties.
Yeah. Or Miami ties, right? I mean, no, I've entertained coaching before, and it takes a special person, a special talent, and that's why I have so much respect for coaches. They really put the time in to kind of develop kids, in this case in college, and you know, I commend them for that. I don't have the patience for it, and I certainly don't have the time. I find other things that pique my interest a little bit more, but I'd rather be an analyst and be fair about everything, but certainly respect the high respect level for coaches out there, though.
Yeah, you keep yapping with Visa. It's a much easier lifestyle, Mike. All right?
Right, it is.
I appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much, Mike.
Zach, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Mike Pritchard, lead NFL analyst for VSiN, former NFL wide receiver, also played his college ball at Colorado. We will take a break. When we come on back, we'll update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio with the news brief.
What's up, everybody? I'm Danny Parkins, based out of Chicago. This is my buddy Andrew Filippone. He's based out of Pittsburgh. You really got to check out our podcast, First and Pod.
Twice a week, we're going to break down the NFL after Thursday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. It's every team. It's every game. It's all 32 teams. We give you a complete picture, and we get into it. We don't kiss each other's fannies on this show.
New episodes of First and Pod available when you wake up every Monday and Friday morning throughout the football season in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? Okay, do you guys know that even if we all ate the same and exercised the same, that we would all still look completely different? I'm Lacey Green. I'm a super trainer with Body. That's BODI.com. I'm telling you, this is something that you need in your life. The app isn't just about having a perfect body, because what is that anyway? It's about what we call health esteem. Feeling good about yourself right now, just as you are, as you work on the person you are becoming. Using Body's tools to find your version of happy and healthy. Body isn't just some software. It's people. It's trainers, nutrition, and mindset experts, and a community of other people just like you and me. And they even have my program for beginners only, which you have to try even if you've never worked out a day in your life. I'll get you off the couch and started on day one, finding the joy and dropping the judgment. And don't take my word for it. You can try it for free right now for 14 days at body.com. That's body with an I.com. Let's get up, get moving, and feel good. Woo woo.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, let's start off with Joe Burrow. Bengals finally get in the win column. They are 1-2 and should win their next two games to get to 3-2. But Joe Burrow says the risk of going 0-3 was greater than the risk of injuring his calf further. That's why he played.
There is risk to go out there and potentially re-injure it, but there's also a risk to go out there and be 0-3. So I wanted to be out there for my guys, and you know, I was confident that I would be able to do what I needed to get the win.
So, you know, if you leave it in the hands of the player, he's going to play. But when you hear that from your leader, I do think that's inspiring. And he lays out a great point. Like, yeah, sure, there's a risk that I could further injure my calf. But he knows if he doesn't play, there's no way they win that game. Now, I know the Colts won this weekend with Anthony Richardson out, and you put in Gardner Minshew. Like, things like that happen where a backup quarterback comes in and plays well. But Joe Burrow is that team. I'm not saying there's not other good pieces on that team. Like, Hendrickson's a stud on the defensive line. Lou Anarumo's a phenomenal defensive coordinator. Jamar Chase is a great wide receiver. Like, there's a lot of studs on that team. But without number nine, there's just no hope in that organization. And you know, if you don't have nine on the field, they were going to 0-3. And then I know they survived last year from going 0-2 and they got to the AFC Championship game. But it would feel totally different than where it was last year. You go to 0-3, there's just no hope in a loaded AFC that you're going to be able to turn it around.
Especially when you look at so far, everyone in your division is 2-1. And the only other winless team is the Broncos. So you sit there at 0-3 with everyone else having at least one game. Yeah, that's an impossible hole to dig out of.
All righty, let's get to Zach Taylor on the decision of letting Joe Burrow play on Monday night.
You just never fully know, and you just want honest responses from him, which he gave, and you talk to the doctors, and everyone gets on the same page and feels good about it, and he goes out there and delivers a performance like he did.
Do you really think it was as much of a game-time decision as they made it out to be?
Yes and no, in the sense that I think they knew as long as nothing, like a major setback doesn't happen in warm-ups, he's playing. But I think it's also like, hey, let's triple check to make sure nothing bad happens.
So what didn't add up to me was on Thursday, I think, of last week. It may have been Friday. You had that video surface of Mike Brown scooping up Joe Burrow on the practice field, taking him for a ride in his golf cart, talking for like a minute or two, and then dropping him back off on the practice field. So he was practicing, and he even went through the walkthrough on Saturday. But then on Sunday, you wake up and you see that tweet and Jonathan Jones is saying there's a chance from CBS that he could go on the IR. So to me, it was almost like one of those situations where, well, was it just gamesmanship in terms of you were never going to play him and now he's going to go on IR and someone said something publicly that they weren't or privately to a source that they shouldn't have? Or was it gamesmanship in trying to just float it out there that he may go to the IR where the Rams further think, all right, he's not going to play in the game? I was so mind bleeped by all the reporting on Sunday, but looking back at it, clearly he was always going to play in the game, barring going out there on the field in warmups and further injuring that calf. Let's go to Sean McVay saying the Rams beat themselves last night.
There was opportunities early on, that we just weren't able to capitalize on, whether it was red zone possessions. You know, you get some good momentum early on in that game and you realize just the margin for error. The two turnovers obviously really hurt us. Really unfortunate. We had a communication error and then we're kind of just laid over the middle. They end up making a nice play. And then after we hit the 46-yarder, you know, you're in good positive momentum. We had that blitz picked up that we were sliding to that and you ended up kind of just stopping and being able to get a tip. And, those are just some tough things.
Yeah, I know it hasn't been a disastrous start for the Rams. They're 1-2, right? They had the big victory week one up against the Seahawks. Then you get the 49ers and the Bengals. It's a bad two games that you have to play. Like, let's see what they do up against the Colts. But then after that, they have the Philadelphia Eagles. It just further shows you, Hickey, with the talent deficiencies that the Rams have. And McVay's a good coach. Stafford's a good quarterback. We know that. Right, look what they're doing right now with Puka Nacua. And you still have Aaron Donald being Aaron Donald, but Cooper Kupp isn't playing. It just shows you how perfect they need to be to win games. Like, they'll be competitive in terms of they'll be in a lot of games. It's going to take a good amount to knock them off. I don't think this team's going to win a bunch of games this year, but they almost have to be, like, perfect. And those little mistakes that McVay's talking about is what's going to catch up when you just have a team that, when you look at it from 1 to 53, is not a really talented roster.
Especially with one of the best wide receivers in the NFL and not right now in the field. Now, obviously, one more game until Cooper Kupp, we believe, right?
We'll come back, returns. Yeah, who knows?
So that should help at least mask some of those errors. But you're right, you can't block up front like they could not yesterday. You have no chance.
Let's go to Nick Sirianni. He is proud of the Eagles winning the Battle of the Trenches on Monday Night Football. Eagles beat up on the Bucs.
I thought we played a really good game on the O-line, D-line. Being physical against a physical group. That's a good defense. That's a good offensive line. And so I just felt like we came away just really playing our game and we want to be, tough and together. And we definitely, part of toughness is being physical, and that was what I felt like what really stood out to this game.
All right, let's go to Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles doesn't come across to me as a great motivational speaker, especially remembering a lot of his press conferences in New York. He has a fine education, though, being a Temple Owl. So I do have a soft spot for Todd Bowles. But his team was 2-0. Now they're 2-1. Let's hear Todd Bowles on the message to his team after the loss.
It was a hard-fought game. We own it, you know. We own it. They stayed in third and short. They got first downs and some good first downs. We didn't play a good ball game. They were partly a lot to do with that. So not playing a good ball game, we can't mope about it. We got to get ready for New Orleans. We got to get nursed up and get the injured guys healthy, and we got a division game this week.
You know what that was? That was a get-right game for the entire NFC South. And when you say, what do you mean a get-right game? You're like, Zach, you know, get-right game usually means you end up winning. No. The way that we thought about the NFC South before the start of this year is now back to being where it's in the right line of thinking. I know the Panthers stink, but those other three teams, they were all 2-0 in the Bucs, the Saints, and the Falcons. Falcons get crushed by the Lions this weekend. The Bucs get crushed by the Eagles and then the Saints. You know, we haven't talked about this one yet. How about, and I know it was out yesterday, but the Saints, what the Packers did last week to Atlanta, where you're up and then you choked, where Atlanta scored 13 points in the fourth quarter. That's what the Packers ended up doing to the Saints, where it was 18-0 or 17-0, excuse me. The game's over. You're going in the fourth quarter, and you outscored them 18-0 in that fourth quarter. And I'll give a lot of credit to Jordan Love. With all the people that they're missing, he has the rushing touchdown, and then he had the passing touchdown. I know it was a great catch by Romeo Doubs, but you look at that loss for the Saints, it just further shows you. I know now Carr's dealing with the injury. We'll see if he plays this week. But it further shows you that Saints team, if you started to buy them, I didn't like the way they played the first 2 weeks. You just see that they're a fraudulent football team with that fourth quarter performance.
You're 100% right. That was, pathetic.
Crazy.
Even though you lose Derek Carr still, you're up 17. You have three scores in the fourth quarter. It's the biggest fourth quarter comeback in Packers history. They've been around since the world was created. Come on. Finish the game. And Dennis Allen, by the way, defensive mind. Finish the game.
It was crazy. 18 unanswered in that. And no one scored the third. That's remarkable. Let's go to Aaron Rodgers. The Jets have to rally around each other. This on the Pat McAfee Show.
You know, there's been, I think, too many little side conversations, and we just need to grow up a little bit on offense and lock in and do our jobs, everybody, and not point fingers at each other. And that's everybody, you know. We don't point fingers at the coaching staff. Don't point fingers at each other. Just get back to work and get the job done.
Well, you do got to, point fingers a little bit behind the scenes, I think, to get an honest assessment. But you can't be pointing fingers publicly. And you saw Garrett Wilson have a blow-up on the sideline with Zach Wilson. Then Michael Carter, the running backs, going after the running backs coach. It's got to be so tough to be a Jets player because you finally had hope, you finally had optimism, and everyone knows Zach Wilson isn't the guy. But you get Aaron Rodgers, he's supposed to be the Messiah, and then he has the torn Achilles. I think that's the most difficult locker room to be in right now. And trust me, the Bears are a mess. You got a bunch of just bad locker rooms to be in right now. But if you're the Jets, you had the actual hope of being a great team and the belief of being a great team. And it all went right out the window 4 plays into the season because the quarterback tore his Achilles, unfortunately. That's got to be brutal mentally as a player.
And especially when you're getting, like you said, a line of BS that no one actually believes that Zach's the guy and Zach gives you the best chance to win, and you keep banging your head against the wall of, you saw it before even this year, and now all of a sudden now you've seen it again, unfortunately, that he just can't play, and you're getting told over and over and over again, hey, this is our best option, guys. We got this. And nowhere close.
Let's go to Joe Namath. He was on ESPN Radio New York. He was asked if he saw any positives from Zach Wilson on Sunday.
You know what? No, I didn't take anything positive out of it yesterday. It was awful. You sit down? You sit down on the play? You go right down? What happens? I thought you're trying to win and make plays. You quit on a play? What is going on? It's disgusting.
You go down, you go down. Ooh, look at Joe Namath showing a little fire right there. But he's 100% right. Zach Wilson has no awareness. He just does not see the field at all. He's brutal. You know, maybe they should start putting some very attractive older women out there. Maybe start seeing the field. But up until this point, Hickey, you know, he has a great receiver in Garrett Wilson. How many times are you going to miss him just getting open on Sunday in the ballgame? It's inexcusable.
The best receiver Zach Wilson has is the guy sitting in the third row. Because I have never seen a quarterback throw the ball away more than Zach Wilson has. And if you're in the first rows at Jet Stadium or any game where you're facing Zach Wilson, bring your gloves. You're going to get a ball.
Did you see the old guy that's going nuts, the older gentleman, and his teeth fell out while he was yelling?
Yes.
All-time video.
Yes, that is tough.
Let's hear one more from Joe, Willie. He's asked what the Jets could do to help Zach Wilson improve.
Send him to Kansas City to back up against somebody like Mahomes. Maybe he'll learn something. I wouldn't keep him.
Wow.
You know, I've seen enough of Zach Wilson. All right? I've seen enough. Has quick feet, can throw a little bit, but I don't believe what's going on up there.
Great answer. And finally, it's got so nasty and so ridiculous in the aftermath of the Oregon-Colorado game. I had no problem with Coach Prime. I had no problem with Dan Lanning. Dan Lanning says Deion Sanders has been great for college football.
I'm also grateful and can clearly acknowledge that the attention that we got this Saturday in large part was due to Deion and what he's doing to college football. And if anybody can't see what he's done for college football and how he's bringing excitement to college football, you're crazy, right? And I said that last week as well. He's done a lot for the game.
My big college football guy moment of the week was Dan Lanning screaming before the game, "Play with your helmet! Play with your helmet!" I thought that was funny. All right, Zach Gilch Show, CBS Sports Radio. The legendary Marty Smith from ESPN is going to join us on the other side. Three college football takes also coming up 25 minutes from now. And a Hickey Hex at 8:40.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing.
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.